It's a surprise. I never thought. Would you like to see the facility where we were created? I'm not so sure, he said. I don't know if I'm ready for that. Aditi got to her feet and reached a hand out to Jordan. He rose, took her hand, and numbly followed her as together they walked into the city. People were strolling along the streets, together with the pony-sized animals they used as beasts of burden. Smaller pets scampered among them, unhampered by leashes. Many of the people smiled and said hello. He asked her, "All of these people were created in the biolab, yes," Aditi answered easily. "So were the ponies and all the other animals you see here in the city." "And the animals in the forest?" She shook her head. "They procreate among themselves, of course." "Of course," he said weakly. As she walked purposefully along the street, Aditi said, "Jordan, it's merely another way for a species to reproduce. We use our technology. We can control every aspect of gestation. It allows us to produce babies that are healthy, intelligent, and empathetic." He said nothing, but his mind pictured hordes of identical clones being mass-produced like automobiles or robots. He knew it was nonsense, that Aditi was not a mindless zombie, that every one of Audrey's people was as individual as humans. Yet the picture remained in his mind. Things that looked like human beings being stamped out in a factory assembly line. Aditi sensed his inner turmoil. "Jordan, dearest, the end product of our way is the same as the end product of your way. A baby. A squalling, gurgling, dribbling baby. Just the same as your babies. Just as human." They were at the entrance to a smallish building. Its door opened at Aditi's touch, and they went into the biolab. Jordan followed Aditi through rows of equipment, all silent and still. She pointed out the microscopes and specimen containers, the glassware for cell cultures, the reactors where egg and sperm cells were united. "Like our biovats for meat," Jordan thought. "Smaller, though. Much smaller."
"And here are the gestation chambers," Aditi said, gesturing to a line of small spheres that looked to Jordan like gourds made of plastic, with half a dozen flexible pipes connected to them. "They enlarge as the fetus grows, of course," Aditi said.
"I see," he murmured. Then he realized, "None of the equipment seems to be functioning."
"Not now. We don't need any more people for the time being. When the need arises, we can gestate newborns."
"And where do the eggs and sperm come from?" he asked.
"From us," she replied. "We donate ova and sperm cells when they are needed."
Rather cold-blooded, Jordan thought, but he said nothing. Going down the line of artificial wombs, Aditi stopped at one.
"This is where I was gestated," she said. "Number 6.
The writing on the bench's top was indecipherable to Jordan, but he looked from it to her face, smiling hopefully. "You did a good job," he said, smiling back at her. Aditi broke into tears. Leaning her head against his chest, she sobbed,
"You don't think I'm a monster?"
"I know you're not."
"You can accept me, knowing how I was created, how different I am?"
Folding his arms about her, Jordan said, "I love you, Aditi. I don't care how you were created. That doesn't matter." He wasn't being entirely truthful. Jordan felt a slight shiver of apprehension as he looked past her tousled head to the row of artificial wombs standing silently on the bench, waiting to be used again to create new aliens. Return to camp. "I've got to go back to the camp, tell the others about this," Jordan said as they walked back toward the entrance of the biolab.
"I understand," Aditi said.
The door opened again at her touch, and they stepped out into the sunshine and bustle of the late afternoon street. The slanting rays of sunlight felt warm, soothing on Jordan's shoulders. Squinting against the brightness, he felt a cooling breeze that rustled the trees planted along the sidewalk.
"Will you come back tonight?" she asked.
As they walked along the street back toward the city's perimeter, Jordan shook his head slowly. "I don't think so. This will be a lot for Meek and the others to digest. I'll have to stay with them, I'm afraid."
"I understand," she repeated.
Reluctantly, Jordan thought. "Will you come with me?" he asked. "Spend the night in my cubicle."
Without hesitation, Aditi replied, I'd like to, Jordan, but I don't think it would be best. I don't want them staring at me as if I'm a freak.
I understand, he said. I should have known. They walked to the city's edge in silence, each wrapped in their own thoughts. Jordan knew that Aditi was right. Let Meek and Longyear and the others absorb this new information. It'll stun them, I'm sure. I don't want Aditi to be there when they find out about it. I don't want them staring at her, whispering about her. Let her stay here in the city, where she'll be safe. Safe. He wondered why he thought about it that way. Surely she'd be safe in our camp. No one's going to harm her. Not Longyear, and certainly not Meek. They're frightened of her, but they wouldn't harm her. Yet he had instinctively felt concern for her safety. And he realized that what men are frightened of, they often lash out against. It was a very human reaction. By the time Jordan reached the camp, Sirius was setting, turning the sky into a blazing bold vermilion and painting the low-lying clouds deep violet. Higher above, he saw the pinpoint of the pup, bright as a laser, riding above the horizon-hugging cloud deck. To his surprise, Brandon and Defia had returned. They were at the rocket plane they had traveled in, out at the edge of the camp, while a pair of robots unloaded their gear. Defia was watching the robot. Brandon stood nearby, all smiles, with Elise clutching his arm happily. Jordan thought that she must have come in from the observatory once she learned that Bran was returning. "Finish your survey so soon?" he asked Defia, as one of the robots drove their tractor down the plane's cargo bay ramp and out onto the grass.
"That sector, yes," the geologist replied. "We've mapped it down to a centimeter scale and sampled its rocks and soil."
"We ran out of clean clothes," Brandon joked. Jordan said, "Bran, I want you and all the others to gather at the dining room at 1700 hours. I have some important new information to share with you. Tell the others, will you?" Brandon nodded. "Okay, Jordy. I'll spread the word." He started off toward the cluster of bubble tents, Elise at his side, leaving Defia and the robots to finish unloading the rocket plane. Jordan personally told Meek about the meeting, then went looking for Longyear and Thornberry. Precisely at 1700 hours, Jordan stepped into the bubble tent that housed the camp's kitchen and dining area. All eight of the others were there, sitting at the longest table in the place, heads together in buzzing conversations. On the wall-sized display screen at the end of the table, Hazard, Trish Wanamaker, and Demetrius Zadar looked on from the wardroom of the orbiting Gaia. Jordan went to the head of the table. The talk stopped, and they looked at him expectantly. "I've learned something about our aliens that's both very interesting and, well, frankly, rather unsettling," he began. "They're evangelists, and they want to convert us to their religion," Brandon wisecracked. A few titters ran along the table. Meek shot Brandon an annoyed glare. With a tolerant smile, Jordan said, "No, it's not that bad."
"Then what is it?" asked Yamaguchi.
Jordan hesitated a heartbeat, then plunged. "They aren't born naturally. They aren't conceived and carried in a woman's womb. They're gestated in apparatuses in a laboratory." Absolute silence for almost half a minute. Then Meek said,
"I knew it. They're not real. They're constructs. Biological constructs."
"They're as real as you and I, Harmon," Jordan countered. "They simply were created in a different way." Brandon asked, "Audrey, too? All of them?" "All of them." Yamaguchi said,
"But they're fully human. For all intents and purposes, they're identical to us."
"Down to their DNA," Longyear added.
"They were constructed," Meek insisted. "By whom, and for what purpose?"
"Yes," said Elise. "If they were constructed in a laboratory, who built the laboratory?"
"Earlier generations, I suppose," Jordan answered.
"No, no, no," said Meek. "This is all part of a plan, a consistent plan of deception. Those people, their city, this entire planet, they're all part of a gigantic scheme."
"A scheme to do what?" asked Hazard from the screen. "What's the point behind all this? What are they after?"
"There's no deception," Jordan said firmly. "They've been completely honest with us."
"You'll pardon my saying so," Meek retorted, "but it seems to me that you've been sleeping with the enemy."
Jordan